I just want to get right into it. Here locally in our listening area, the Grand Portage Band, along with most bands in Minnesota, including White Earth, are part of the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe. Can you briefly describe to us how that's structured?
Yeah, the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe has six bands as a part of it: Boys Fort, Fond du Lac, Grand Portage, Leech Lake, Mille Lacs, and White Earth. And in the 1930s, just at the time of the New Deal, they organized themselves as one tribal structure. And what that does is it creates kind of a federalism in the Chippewa bands. There's a central organization that administers certain services like education, scholarships, finances, human services. And then the local bands take care of more local affairs. And this is a pretty unique structure in the United States. I don't think there's anything else like it.
So on November 19th, as Julie said when she was introducing you, they did vote to approve this new constitution. Can you tell us a little bit about what that did?
Yeah, well, the White Earth people have been looking for about 4 years to discuss whether or not this new constitution was going to be ratified. They had a series of four conventions, and this builds on an older process that stretches back about 20 years to decide whether or not they wanted to update and modernize the way that they govern themselves. And so what the White Earth people did is, after these long discussions, they submitted to the membership for ratification a new constitution which creates a separation of powers in their tribal structure, you know, an executive or a chief, a legislative council, and judiciary. And then there's also other provisions in the constitution that create solid individual rights that are modeled on the Bill of Rights, but then go beyond the Bill of Rights to be able to ensure that individual members are protected from their government in the White Earth Nation.
So it's a pretty big deal then.
Huge.
Yeah. One thing that we've been hearing a lot about too is in the news, they say, you know, blood quantum. Can you give us an idea of sort of what that is and what the history of blood quantum is?
Sure. Traditionally, Ojibwe communities didn't measure their membership or their associations in accordance with blood. A long time ago, it was basically done through families, and people could be adopted in or taken into a community in many different ways. But in the 1920s and 30s, there was pressure from the Bureau of Indian Affairs to place blood quantum in tribal constitutions to limit the number of people that would be able to claim relationships with the tribe and therefore be able to claim a relationship with the federal government. So beginning in 1934 with the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe, what occurred was there was a quarter blood quantum requirement that was there, that if a person wasn't a quarter blood under the Ojibwe constitution, then they wouldn't be able to claim membership in one of these six communities as a part of the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe. And what the White Earth Constitution has done is moved away from blood quantum to a lineal membership, because they did a study and they discovered, because of the rate of outmarriage that's happening at White Earth and in many other Indian communities throughout the country, there would be no Indians left in about 2080. And so they wanted to obviously make sure that they would survive as a community and ensure that blood quantum didn't sort of work them out of existence.
Can you give me a good idea of, obviously the White Earth Band is not the first nation to do this, but it is a new thing in Minnesota. Based on the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe's constitution, what are the standards for being an enrolled band member based on the blood quantum rule?
Yeah, so right now you look back to an initial roll, I think it's from the 1880s, to see whether or not there was some ancestor that was enrolled there. And then there was a couple of updates that were made subsequently. And if you can't trace your ancestry to a quarter blood from one of those initial rolls that was prepared by the government, you can't, obviously, in this Minnesota Chippewa Tribe constitution, be a part of these communities. As I mentioned, under the new White Earth Constitution, when they work to implement that, they'll have to set rules as to how to move from blood quantum to lineage, which basically means that if you have an ancestor who is on some initial role that they will yet identify, you can be a member of the White Earth Nation as opposed to having to establish a blood quantum.
in the past, you know, for the bands who are still sort of determining tribal membership based on blood quantum, what sort of issues have arisen from that?
Well, there's going to have to be negotiation between White Earth and the remaining bands in the Minnesota Chippewa tribe to see how their representation will be now made on that larger council. Obviously, the White Earth Nation will not be bound, well, it's part of the negotiation, in all respects to the Minnesota tribe's 1934 constitution. And so I think what you're going to see over the next couple of years, and particularly over the next couple of months, is details that will emerge as to how they will amicably continue to share membership, but also ensure that the White Earth have this greater self-governing capacity in their own community.
Sure. Recently, the White Earth chairwoman, Irma Weisner, told Minnesota Public Radio News that she's pretty confident that an agreement can be reached with the Minnesota Chippewa tribe, and in part because its members, more than half of them, are made up of White Earth band members. Do you feel like that's the case?
You know, I'm not sure about the particular politics of this situation, but when I look around the country, as you mentioned earlier, this kind of constitutional reform is happening all the time. In the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, there was a huge upswing of new constitutions being brought in. Probably more than half of the bands have implemented new constitutions over the last 30 years or so. And, you know, there's always been challenges with that. That's part of politics. That's part of why you have a constitution, is to deal with these kinds of challenges. And I think they're well situated as a group to be able to negotiate through the issues that are going to arise in the coming months.
Sounds great. Well, thanks so much for speaking with us this morning. If you're just tuning in, we've been speaking with John Burroughs. He's a professor at the University of Minnesota and an expert on Indigenous law. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.